Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now, I've read this extended section for a very definite purpose. Will you notice Paul divides mankind into two great ethnic groups? I think he rather recognizes a twofold division. Jews and Greeks are Gentiles. Now, the Jews represented religion, and they represented a God-given religion. They felt that they had the truth, and they did, as far as the Old Testament was concerned. But it had just become a ritual. They had departed from it, and the power was gone. And so when Christ appeared, you'll remember that they require a sign. They wanted a sign. Rather than to turn to their scriptures, they asked for a sign. And our Lord said, no sign will be given to you but the sign of the prophet Jonah, sign of resurrection. Now, there were the Greeks. They were the Gentiles. They represent philosophy. Not religion, but philosophy. They were lovers of wisdom. They said they were seeking the truth. They were searching and scanning the universe for truth. They were the rationalists. The Jews ended up in ritual. The Gentiles ended up as rationalists, and they had to conform to a pattern of reason. About 400 years before Christ came, the Greek nation threw on the horizon of history a brilliance of mind and an artistic accomplishment in many fields that still dazzles and startles mankind. Only extended for three centuries. That is, it was about 300 years before Christ. Then it just fizzled out. And men like Pericles, Anaxagoras, Thales, Socrates, Plato, Aristotle, they disappeared. They left certain schools, the Peripatetic school of philosophy, the Stoic school of philosophy, the Epicurean school. Then you have 2,000 years of sterility and stagnation that came into the world. Then there was Bacon and Hobbes and Descartes. And you have the rebirth of thinkers. And then there was a brief period of brilliance and again decadence, and we're still in it. Although there's some boys around today that think they're smart. But what is truth? Said the jesting Pilate. And Bacon, you remember, asked the same question. And philosophy is still asking the question, and it has no answers to the problems of life today. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? That is the question that they've been asking. Now, philosophy, someone has defined philosophy as a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that's not there. And the Greeks seek after wisdom. They're searching for some theory or formula today. And man today feels like that through science that he's really got answers to some of the questions of life. Well, does he have the answers to the question of life? There's been some question about that, and here's a statement that appeared in a new book called The Suicide of the West by James Burnham. Listen to this. The truth is that modern man is over-impressed by his own achievements. To put a rocket into an orbit that is more than 100 miles from the surface of the earth takes a great deal of joint thought and effort. But we tend to overstate the case. Though men who ride a few miles above the earth are called astronauts, this is clearly a misnomer. Men will not be astronauts until they ride among the stars. And it's unimportant to remember that most of the stars are thousands of light years away. The Russians are even more unrestrained in their overstatement, calling their men cosmonauts. Someone needs to say, little man, don't take yourself quite so seriously. You see, man today thinks he has a few answers. Where is the wise today? It's a pretty good question to ask. God's made foolish the wisdom of this world. For after that, in the wisdom, Well, you notice that. The world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. This is a tremendous statement, you see. Now, will you notice then what God says here? But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Now, the Jew found the cross a stumbling block, a scandalon. They wanted a sign. They wanted someone to show the way. They wanted a pointer. They wanted a highway marker. They wanted a deliver on a white charger, putting down the power of Rome, is what they would have accepted. But Christ crucified was an insult to them, and they didn't want to accept that at all. That meant defeat and not victory. As it is written, Paul says in Romans 9:33, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." And then in 1 Peter 2:7, "Unto you therefore which believe, he's precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed." Now the Greeks, the Gentiles, they thought the cross was foolishness and absurdity. It was utterly preposterous and ridiculous. It was contrary to any rational worldly system. In Rome, they found a caricature of Christianity, a figure on the cross with an ass's head. May I say to you, that's the way they're doing it today, ridiculing our Savior. Now, Paul bears down on philosophy. He says in Acts 18:6, "And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them," he's in Athens now, "Your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From henceforth I'll go unto the Gentiles." But can philosophy lift a man out of the cesspool of this life? It never has. And not foolish preaching, but the preaching of foolishness, that is the cross. That's not a method, it's a message. Men reject it today. And you find that the wisdom of the world today is to have an anti-poverty program. May I say that we have a school down at the edge of Watts. We don't get too much support and recognition from that. It was there long before they had riots. May I say that they need the gospel down there, but no one's thought of that. And Beverly Hills in Southern California needs the gospel also. Now, Paul introduces another class of mankind, neither Jews nor Gentiles. They are the called, the elect. Not merely those who heard the invitation, but those who responded to it and found in the cross the wisdom and power of God. And it transformed their lives, and it made them new men. And it took 12 men, molded 11 of them, and then the Lord Jesus took Saul of Tarsus. And now the city of Corinth with its sin, and Ephesus with its religion. And for 1,900 years, the gospel has been going around the world today, and it's the only help and hope of mankind.